Greetings, Caiaphas, thou high priest of Israel. I'm Saul of Tarsus. Give me, I pray thee, the proper credentials and a few soldiers, and I'll search out these Christian heretics, both men and women, in Damascus and Samaria and Judea. And I'll bring them to you here in Jerusalem for your judgment. Have no doubts about me, Caiaphas. I'm a Jew. I'm a citizen of Cilicia, which is no obscure city. I'm a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. I have always lived under the law. I was circumcised according to the law of Moses. I am of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin, and a Hebrew in every sense of the word. I was brought up in Jerusalem at the feet of Gamaliel. I was taught according to the law of our fathers, and I've always been zealous towards God, even as you are, Caiaphas. I am freeborn. I'm entitled to all the privileges of a Roman citizen. I can speak both Greek and Hebrew fluently. And if necessary, I can earn my own living as a tent maker. Ananias of Damascus, I am the Lord Jesus speaking. Hear my words. Arise and go into the street called Straight in Damascus and inquire for a man called Saul of Tarsus. You will find him praying at the house of Judas. And although he's blind, he'll know you. Put your hand upon him that he might receive his sight. But Lord Jesus, I know this man, Saul. He consented unto Stephen's death. He persecuted the brethren of Jerusalem. He made havoc of the church everywhere he went. He even entered into their homes and broke up their meetings and committed the inhabitants to prison. There must be some mistake, Jesus. He's the most violent persecutor of them all. Ananias, my servant, this is Jesus speaking again. There is no mistake. What you say is true. Paul has written authority from the chief priest to bind all those who call upon my name. But disregard that, Ananias. Help him all you can. You see, he's a chosen vessel to me, to carry my name before both Jews and Gentiles. He has not chosen me. I've chosen him. And so go to him, Ananias, and I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Greetings, brother Ananias. My name is Saul of Tarsus, and I was praying that you would come to me. My friends and I were on our way from Jerusalem to Damascus, and as we came near the city of Damascus, a bright light shined down from heaven, a light brighter than the noonday sun. The light was so brilliant it blinded my eyes. And then suddenly I heard a voice said, "Saul, why do you persecute me?" After I recovered my senses, the voice instructed me to come to you. I still cannot see, Ananias, nor do I fully comprehend what the Lord Jesus would have me do. Brother Saul, it was the Lord Jesus who appeared to you as the great light in the way. And now Jesus has sent me to tell you that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Come, Let us turn to the Lord. He has torn you, but he will heal you. He has smitten you, but he will bind you up. And after 2 days, he will revive you. And on the third day, he will raise you up, and we shall live in him. Brother Saul, you must understand that the brethren here at Damascus are amazed to hear you speak as a Christian, because they only know you as a devout Jew according to the law. Even those with you were amazed when they heard Jesus' voice, because they did not see what you saw, Paul. And still they do not understand. And two, when you return to Jerusalem, don't be surprised if the apostles there have their doubts about you. Perhaps you should go to see Barnabas first. He will vouch for you and explain your recent experience to the brethren. And then Barnabas will take you to the friends at Antioch and introduce you to the Christians there. King Agrippa, to this day, I have not been disobedient to that heavenly vision. And now I am happy to speak to you. So please hear me patiently. From my youth up, I have lived in Jerusalem among Jewish people, and I stand upon the hopes and promises of our fathers. But now, I'm accused of being a traitor to my people and my faith. Nevertheless, I continue to witness to every one of those things that the prophet and Moses taught. Agrippa, don't you believe? I know you believe. Those prophets wrote that Jesus would suffer and die and be the first to raise from the dead. God promised our fathers many years ago that someday a Redeemer would come, and that all those who sleep in the dust of the earth would awake. So why, King Agrippa, why should you think it incredible that God should raise the dead? However, King Agrippa, in pride and ignorance, I did persecute the saints. By authority from the chief priests, I put many into prison. Some were put to death by my permission. It is true, Agrippa, I was a blasphemer. I persecuted and injured the church, but I obtained mercy because I did it innocently. And for this reason, I consider myself the least of the apostles. In fact, I should not be called an apostle, even though I labored more than the others. It is only by the grace of God that I am what I am. Nevertheless, King Agrippa, I am an apostle. I saw the Lord Jesus on the way to Damascus, just as the others did, but out of due time. My baptism as a new creature in Christ Jesus was a sudden and startling experience. Although I did not converse and mature with Jesus as the others did, mine was a humbling and crushing experience, and I have not yet fully recovered from that occasion. My eyes are still impaired. 3 times I prayed earnestly that the Lord would remove this thorn, but each time he has told me, "My grace is sufficient for thee." King Agrippa, I have learned that the weaker I am, the more I can depend upon my Lord Jesus. And the more I depend upon him, the stronger I am. Therefore, I no longer glory in myself. I glory in my infirmities. I would like to be strong and courageous as others are, but personal pride is foolishness with God. And without him, I am nothing. Enough of this, Paul. Your eloquence and reasoning is convincing. But would you expect to persuade me to be a Christian so quickly? King Agrippa, I pray not only you, but all who hear my words would accept Christ as I have. Except I would not wish these chains upon anyone. Paul of Tarsus, I am Festus. I have been informed of your activities. Your own people testify against you. What have you done? Festus, I have done nothing against the Jews, nothing against the temple, nor against Caesar. However, the Jews are prejudiced toward me. They will not give me a fair trial here at Jerusalem. Therefore, I appeal to Caesar. Paul, you are beside yourself. Much learning has made you mad. Festus, your honor, I am not mad. I speak the truth soberly. Very well, Paul. To Caesarea you will go. We will prepare you for the journey. And from Caesarea you will sail to Rome. Centurion, make ready. 200 soldiers, 70 horsemen, 200 spearmen, and take this man to Caesarea. We will leave at the third hour of the night. And Paul, I'll provide you with a beast to ride. And here is a letter of introduction to Felix at Caesarea. It reads this. My army has rescued this man, Paul, from the Jews at Jerusalem when I learned he was a Roman citizen. Felix will hear you, Paul, when your accusers come. Paul, your accusers have arrived. The high priest has informed the governor of you, and this is his charge. You are a pestilent fellow, a seditionist among all the Jews, both here and abroad, and a ringleader of the Nazarenes. And more than this, you have profaned the temple. What have you to say for yourself? Felix, I'm happy to answer for myself. They have never found me disputing in the temple with any man. Neither can they prove the things whereof they charge me. But this I do confess. They may call it heresy, but I worship the God of my fathers. I believe all things that are written in the law by the prophets. I have hope in God that there shall be a resurrection both of the just and the unjust. And they believe this too. If my accusers have anything against me, they should have been here before now and made their charge. I have always had a good conscience, void of offense toward God and man. I am innocent of the great transgression of deliberate sin. It is true, Paul. I find you not guilty. Go thy way for now, and when I have a more convenient time, I'll call for you. Festus, my associate, you cannot release this man. Paul might have been given his freedom had he not appealed to Caesar, had he not made supplication to a higher court. We could have freed him. But now our hands are tied. We must deliver him to Julius the centurion, and they shall sail for Rome immediately. Paul, our voyage is ended. And you have been an excellent passenger aboard our vessel. We wish you well in your hearing before Caesar. Look here on the shore. Here come your brethren. They've come to welcome you on your arrival. They will take you to the house where you will live. And the guards have sent a soldier to live with you. Men and brethren of Rome, I am Paul. Paul of Tarsus, formerly of Jerusalem. I have been sent here by Caesar because I could not expect a fair trial among my brethren at Jerusalem. I have committed nothing against the people, nothing against our fathers, and yet I have been delivered as a prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of Caesar. When I was examined by Felix at Caesarea, he would have freed me. But the Jews spoke against it, and so I was constrained to appeal to Caesar. Not that I have any malice against my brother. And so I have asked you to come here today to see and hear me, because I believe that Jesus of Nazareth is the Messiah and the one and only hope of Israel. Paul, we have heard no evil reports of you. No one has come from Judea to speak against you, and certainly we have nothing against you. However, we would like to hear what you think. All we know is that this sect of Christians is being spoken against everywhere. Very well, brother. I'll be happy to set a day and to tell you of my experiences and my faith in Christ Jesus as the Savior of Israel. And not the Savior of Israel only, but the Savior of men everywhere. Being a Jew, you have had many advantages in many ways. You have been God's holy nation, a peculiar people, a treasure unto Jehovah. You have had privileges and honors that your neighbors did not share. To you pertain the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the Mosaic law, the promises and services of God. These blessings others did not have. And more than this, Jehovah your God sent you his only Son, Jesus, to redeem you from your sins. But you crucified him, and you hung him on a tree. You see, your iniquities have separated you from God. Your sins have hid his face from you. And now he will not hear your cry. What can you do now? God has commanded all men to repent, Jews and Gentiles alike. And he has appointed a day when all men will be judged righteously. In that day, God shall judge all men by Jesus Christ, and everyone must give an account. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, whether it be for good or for bad. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and he also knows how to reserve the ungodly to judgment. However, brother, I do not expect that all of you will believe, because the Holy Spirit has prophesied that hearing you shall hear and not understand, seeing you shall see and not perceive. Why? Because the ears of many are dull of hearing and cannot hear. The eyes of many are closed and cannot see. From Moses to now, you have been a stiff-necked people. Why is this so? You have had God's word preached to you over and over again. But you do not understand it because you don't put your heart into it. Therefore, God has not given you the strength and the grace to know. You have seen many signs and miracles, but you cannot understand what God means by these either. Moses truly wrote of you when he said, "The Lord has not given you a heart to perceive, eyes to see, nor ears to hear, not even to this day. But rather the Lord has poured out upon you the spirit of a deep sleep. He has closed your eyes. And as long as you resist the grace of God, as long as you rebel against the light, you cannot be healed of your sins. To some, we have been a savor of death unto life. But to others, we have been a savor of life unto life. It is not because I corrupt the word of God, because I speak in all sincerity. Even though I have no success in preaching the word to you, God accepts my efforts as sincere intentions and my honest endeavors. Even though Israel is never gathered, yet shall I be honored in the eyes of the Lord. Brethren, I would accept being accursed from Christ and banished from His sight forever for your sake. But I know that would accomplish nothing. Even to this day, that veil of darkness still covers your eyes. Nevertheless, when you shall turn to Christ, then, and not until then, will that veil be taken away. Dear brother, you shall look upon Him whom you pierced, together with those who have pierced Him with their hearts. All nations will weep in sorrow when they see Him come again in power and glory. But as for me, I'm ready to be offered. I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I am confident that there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness which the Lord, that righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also who rejoice in His return.